It's just us.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest episode of the Wrestling Court, where we are going to talk about the Royal Rumble that took place yesterday. I'm your host, Julian Cannon, here with my good friend, Drew Yari from the Drew Yari Show. Tell him how you're doing.
I am doing great. I have had two cups of coffee in me, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, because you was at the Royal Rumble yesterday.
It was I mean, it was fun. I had fun, but it was just we were all drained as soon as we got out.
Dude, was this the first Royal Rumble you ever been to?
The last one I went to was the one in 2017. So that was the first Rumble. That was the first one I went to. The first Rumble in general in San Antonio was in '97. By that time, I wasn't watching wrestling.
Oh, I
I didn't start
was.
watching. Yeah, I didn't start watching until about like maybe late '97, and 07, I'm still kicking myself that I didn't go to because that's my favorite Rumble. And this one was fun. It's probably like my favorite, the best Rumble match. Let me preface by saying best Rumble match I've seen in years. Thing is, we got there early because we were trying to find at least like good parking around the arena. Because I remember in 2017, we got there pretty much like 30 minutes before the show even started, and there were people around the dome that were actually like, I guess like, what's the best terminology? I guess like renting out their driveway as parking spots. Like they would say, "Hey, you pay $10 and you can park in my backyard or whatever." And I was just like, "Yeah, I don't want to do that. So let's try to get there as early as we can."
They try to
We were
hustle you,
able to.
man.
Oh yeah, and we were able to find a nice spot, literally by the dome. That was like a 10, 12-minute walk, and it was like $15. And I don't want to jump ahead, but I'll just talk about what happened after we, left the arena. Whereas like it was raining. It was raining yesterday. It wasn't raining too hard when we got it. It was like I think it just got done raining. So when we were trying to walk back to our spot, there was a lot of traffic. So like the easiest part to get back to our parking was kind of cut off. So we had to like take an alleyway, which wasn't dangerous because it looked like other people were doing it. And then we were just drained, but we were kind of hungry. So we were like, what the fuck's open right now? Because by the time we got to our car, it was already midnight.
Oh boy.
And we went to a Denny's and got home around 2 in the morning.
You
It was fun.
see, if they didn't have that stupid fucking concert before the main event, I think everybody would have went home more earlier.
You mean country rap guy, whatever the fuck he called
The
himself? That was
wrong
bad. Like,
party or the third party.
people. I'm from San Antonio. I'm from Texas. I'm not a country connoisseur. I like some country. There is good country, people. There is good country, just like there's good rap. Just like there's good rap and bad rap. Just like there's good rock and bad rock. Same thing with country. There's good country and there's bad country. That was bad country. The whole place was booing the guy. And poor guy. The guy got a gig. I'm pretty sure he got paid nicely, but the whole place was booing him. And as
Yeah,
soon as
because
this.
I bet they were booing him because it was 11:30 at night Eastern time and people were not having it.
What have made more sense if this was like outside, like as a pre-show thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, before you come inside, watch the brand new single from Hardy. Where that would have made more sense and not like you said, 11:30 at night before the fucking main event. So I remember as soon as the set was done, I just hear a guy behind me, "Nobody cares."
As they shouldn't, man. As they shouldn't.
Right.
Before we actually, let me bring this up because the last Rumble I've went to was the 2008 one in Madison Square Garden, and that one was really fun. My pick at that time, I believe it was Triple H to win it at that time. So when
I remember that.
John Cena came out, everyone was fucking shocked, and I'm including myself because he was supposed to be out for a year after tearing his pec against that match with Mr. Kennedy. And was it his pec or was it his ankle? I'm trying to remember. It was a
Was his
muscle tear.
pec.
Yeah, it was his
It was his
pec.
pec, yeah.
So we were like, this guy healed up in 4 months and now he's going to fucking win the Rumble.
I mean, that was kind of like the Cena thing of like he would get a life or like a career threatening injury. It's like he's back in 2 weeks. I think it was Kevin Castle who made the joke of like John Cena could die tomorrow, but he'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean that at that time that was the first time it happened.
Right. But I remember that. I remember watching that in my den, and as soon as his theme hit, my friend at the time was texting me, and he just goes, "Holy shit!" Because nobody expected Cena, and that made for a, that made for a big moment of like, "Holy shit."
Exactly. Before we get to the Rumble, footage of the Jay Briscoe Fred Rule is being live streamed. I believe it ended a few hours ago. I saw some photos here and there, but the one thing I saw in that stream where people were fucking ridiculous was that they wanted to see the freaking casket. They wanted to see his
What
body.
the
They wanted the casket open. I'm like, why?
I mean, I've only been to
It's not
maybe
a
like a
fucking sporting event.
right. I mean, I've went to a funeral where it was open casket, and it was my friend's mom who passed away, and I mean, they did the thing of like people would approach the casket and look. I don't want to sound like a dick. It's just like I couldn't look. Like as soon as I went up to the casket, I had to kind of like do the thing of like I'm looking down, but my eyes are kind of like glazed, so I just kind of look to the side barely. And it's
Yeah.
just I don't want to see that because just I want to remember somebody how I remember them and not like that. So I don't know, that's just weird that people would want to see that, or
That's
people are requesting to see Jay's body at the moment.
that's wrestling fans for you, man. But let's get to the Royal Rumble match itself. I said Royal Rumble match. The Royal Rumble pay-per-view took place last night. And the Royal Rumble match started it. At the time before we got at the main event, I was questioning why would they even start the Rumble match. I didn't think we would see how the main event ended, which was quite tremendous. But so the Rumble match itself, half of it was lower standard, and the other half was good tier stuff that set up stories for the WrestleMania season. But before we get to the meat and the bones of this match, what were some initial thoughts you had while the match was going on? Who had some of the best reactions when you were there live, and thoughts about it after it ended?
I was kind of like you, where it's just like, cause my wife, or she's my fiance, she's soon to be more Betty. She was like saying, "Who do you think's gonna go on first?" I'm like, I think it might be the women's, and I think the men's Royal Rumble will go on last. I'm just guessing." But then the guy came out saying, "Oh, it's gonna be 30 men Royal Rumble." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I guess Roman and Kevin Owens are main eventing, which means something could happen." And I enjoyed it. I mean, I saw a lot of hate for it, and it is what it is, but like. I enjoyed the Rumble. I thought it was, a lot better than last year. Last year, I think I was on this show and we reviewed it and we agreed that last year was just like very underwhelming. This year, I don't want to say it was perfect, but like it was a step above last year and it was at least entertaining. Big pops. Barack, of course, gets a pop as soon as his music hits. Cody, of course, got a big pop. Edge got a big pop. Who else? Gunther, of course, got a big pop. Sheamus, Booker T got a nice little pop. Logan Paul got booed, which was funny. And then Braun, of course, gets a reaction. The biggest takeaways was just Lashley eliminating Brock, which I
Yeah, that was completely shocking.
right.
Under 2 or 3 minutes, Lesnar was out that early as he got in. I was really shocked. I thought he would last for a while when he got in.
I was more like, here's what I thought was going to happen because it looks like, I don't know if this is going to be a Mania match. It should be a Mania match, but like, I thought it was going to be a thing of like Lashley comes in and he's like, I don't even give a fuck about the Rumble. I just want Brock. And they both end up like eliminating each other at the same time. Like that could have, and then, but as soon as Lashley came, he just speared Brock and went, "Oh, let me take care of something else." It's like, okay. So, there was that, and then I just like Brock just running all the way to Baron Corbin and just like going boop, knocking his ass out, and then F5ing him. I think we all enjoyed that. And then another thing, I like the Rumble, just critiques, you know, a lack of surprises. You know, I thought there was gonna be like they were just hyping us up at that we were gonna get some big surprises, that we were gonna possibly get, you know, Austin or, you know, Nick Aldis or maybe some
Wait,
NXT call-ups.
who was hyping it up?
Pretty much damn near everybody.
Who's
Like,
everybody? You mean wrestling dirt sheets, right?
okay, so I met Mark
Yeah,
Kerr,
yeah.
believe it or not. So my bad, people. Maybe I set myself up for disappointment. But
Yeah, then comes the Hulk Hogan analogy on that, but that could wait.
I mean, no, not even any NXT people, not Braun Breaker, not fucking who the fuck is it? Carmelo Hayes, not
Unless
even
you
a Grayson Waller.
count Booker T, since he's the commentator there.
Like, come on. But yeah, Booker, I mean, Booker looked good for 57, and he still does a Spinneroonie. And then I just remember when Gunther threw him out, everyone was booing because they obviously love Booker T. But I mean, yeah, the Rumble was fine. Just again, lack of surprises, and also just I guess kind of attention to detail is, because I was listening to Soup talk about it, and you know, Joe Numbers had a point about, you know, place, I guess, like, what do you call it? Like, places in the Rumble where I had been hyping, I had been kind of like pitch, no, we're not really pitching the idea, but just kind of like, this is my opinion, is like, if you want Cody to be this like big time superstar and you really want him to look like a superstar, why not have him enter in at one and just win the whole
You
thing? So that
know,
way,
I thought
go ahead.
about that, but then something else that came to my brain. What if he was not completely cleared to go
Right.
entire hour?
Well, no, that's kind of what I thought too. And he actually talked about in the media scrum, you know, I guess that's what you call it now, where he said that he was cleared to wrestle like literally yesterday.
Yeah,
So,
he was cleared to wrestle yesterday, but how much could he have done on his first match back?
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, it's just at number 30, it just seems like, you know, oh, I'm here. Now give me my trophy. You know what I mean?
You see, if they would have had Cody come out at least 29 or 28 or one of the upper tier numbers before 30, I kind of would have said, okay, the surprise is there, but who'll be number 30? That would have been
Right.
my thought about that. Gunther lasting the entire Rumble match and also breaking Rey Mysterio's record, that was unexpected. And
Oh man, I loved it.
the stuff they had at the end towards it was damn near classic, I could say.
I mean, is it fair to say that that match was maybe like a match of the night?
I would
Even though
say
it was
so.
like, even though like it wasn't, I mean, it was part of the match. I guess it was like a match inside of a match. Is that, if that's the best way to put
A
it?
match within a match.
I mean, that's kind of a first in wrestling, don't you think? But I loved it. I mean, I love Gunther being displayed as the next big superstar. But that's also kind of another thing, is kind of like the same thing with Rhea, which I'm not gonna jump ahead, but like, it's like you have this guy who's supposed to be like your number one heel. I mean, he pretty much is your number one heel at this point, especially after last night, and you have him go the distance. You know what I mean? But I wasn't unhappy with how everything turned out, because I love Gunther. I love that the company is now looking at Gunther as a star the way we all think he's a star.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things of like, you know, it would have been better if Cody was in that spot, or at least like an earlier spot. But I guess we kind of now know why, because maybe this is more like a Triple H thing of like, we don't want to take any chances of you maybe getting hurt again, that you just came back, so we're going to take it easy on you in the first like that.
You see, another thing you brought up earlier was surprises. Even though I was a bit disappointed, but the positive from that is that they show the depth of the Raw and SmackDown roster for the Majority Rumble.
Yeah, like I'll say this, because like I even really like,
However, had they not revealed 20 fucking six people before the match even began.
I hate that. I hate that. I hate when they say, here are the stars in the match. And like, just let us, it's like with Cody when
They
they
did that at the
said, you know.
2018 Royal Rumble, if you remember, and people were speculating who was the 30th entrant was going to be at the time. People thought it was going to be either Finn Balor, who didn't return yet, Who else? Kenny Omega and a few others. Nope, out comes Roman Reigns.
No, it's 2017.
Oh, 2017. Yes, you're right, you're right.
Yeah, I was there like as soon, because I was like, oh, is it gonna be Samoa Joe? Is it gonna be, you know, fill in the blank? No, as soon as Roman's theme music hit, they just fucking booed.
Yeah, we was like, what the fuck? Did he not just wrestle for the title before this?
But yeah, like I just little things in the Rumble I appreciate as far as like a storyline goes, like with Dominic, for example. Like I have turned the corner on Dominic because I boo the sh I hate I mean, I don't want to say I hate, but I just thought it sucked
Yeah,
personally.
I feel the same way. Ever since he joined Judgment Day, it's been a really good career resurgence for him. Because before that, I just didn't see what was it about him, other than it
My
being
pro
Ray's dad. I mean,
my
Ray's son,
problem.
Ray's son.
Well, that I was actually gonna say that because like my problem with him was that he's like I think he's 6'1" from what I heard, or it's like 6 feet, and he's always tried to wrestle like his dad, and I've always kind of made the joke of like instead of wrestling like his real dad, he's trying to wrestle like his fake dad, like his fake biological father, and it's just you should not be trying to do a 6'1" 9. It looks wrong. Like anyone who's over
Exactly.
6 feet should not be trying to do that. So
It's
working in the judgment.
it's the Brian Cage problem.
Oh God, don't get me started on that. Yeah, with him, it's like now he at least looks like a wrestler and he's getting the character down. He's like the second most over guy. Don't want to say, is it fair to say he's maybe like the most, maybe the second most over guy on Raw?
I would say third or fourth, because we also have Seth Rollins. We also have Bobby Lashley. Yeah, I'll say around second or third.
Right. And then you got Rhea, of course, who's a fucking star. Those two have been able to make it work, and Priest is, you know, the big heavy, and Balor is kind of like stuck in the middle. And then Edge came back, and Edge, of course, got a fucking huge reaction. I mean, that was kind of spoiled because somebody shared a video of Edge at the San Antonio airport that day.
Great.
So I'm like, I guess Edge is coming back.
Fucking great.
And then, you know, the moment with, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna bring up the moment with Kofi Kingston. A second year in a row where it was botched. However, I think he got injured because if you slow down that footage, Kofi's head hit the edge of that table.
Oh, that looked bad. I mean, obviously did.
That should be a clear sign that he should stop doing this. The Kofi saves has been done to death over the 2010s. Now we're in the 2020s and he's still doing it, and two of the last ones failed.
Right, because like I mean, yeah, I don't know if you heard the commentary, but like I was listening
Yeah, I heard
back
the
to it.
comment. Yeah, I heard the commentary. I believe it was either Corey Graves or Michael Cole saying that one of his legs was still on a chair. I'm like, how could you try to cover that up? He's clearly out.
Well, no, I was saying like Pat McAfee had a good line. Like as soon as Brock came out, you hear Pat go to Kofi. Kofi, you're on the floor. Just stay down.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Just funny as shit.
Just like last year when the cameras clearly saw Kofi's feet touching the ground when he tried to do his spot.
Oh, I remember that. That was just
They
like, yeah,
had they
dude,
showed
stop.
it they showed it in three different angles, man. There's no way they could try to hide it.
It's like, dude, please stop doing that. Like, no one, like, it's at the point where it's like, it was cute the first time. Just stop, please.
I like Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, how they controlled most of that rumble up until before Judgment Day all paired up.
They were kind of, they're like, I guess, like the Brothers of Destruction-ish, but from like 2001, I
Yeah.
believe. And I like that. And now, you know, just, you know, beating the shit out of everybody. And then Gunther throws both of them out, which. My fiance, she loves Drew McIntyre, you know, for obvious reasons. And as soon as they threw him out, I was cheering for Gunther, and she looks at me like, "You better shut the
Overall, good Rumble match. Set up some things leading into WrestleMania. Mostly, oh, something I forgot to mention: the Logan Paul or Ricochet spot. Thank God they did not have Kevin Dunn changing camera angles for it.
Yeah, that. I did not expect that because I remember I was going to pull my phone out and record it. I'm like, yeah, it's probably just going to be some basic, you know, indie flippy shit. And then I'm
That's
like,
what I
fuck, I didn't
expected
record
too.
it. I'm like, they're crouching tiger, hidden dragon, you know, spot. I'm like, God damn, that shit recorded it.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I first thought to myself that these two are very far away from the other ends. What are they going to do? Then when it
Yeah, I mean,
happened, I
so
was like, holy shit.
Shit, say what you want about Logan Paul. Like, damn. I mean, that dude, that guy for like four, I guess you want to call a Rumble his fourth match. Like, he's really fucking good.
Yes. So overall, above average, very good. At points, I felt like there was a lot of slowing down, but that was by design. Better than last year's shit show of a Rumble match where Vince, I mean, not Vince, Shane McMahon booked himself up until the last four, which is quite fucking stupid. Probably the only Vince McMahon decision I'd agree with of all of 2022.
Oh God!
Sending
Don't get
his ass home.
that was bad. That was BAD bad.
Now let's go through some stats from this match. Gunther lasted the longest with a time of 1 hour, 11 minutes, 25 seconds. Baron Corbin lasted the shortest with less than 10 seconds. Gunther and Cody Rhodes tied for the most eliminations with five. This is the first time that the first entrant and the final entrant are the last two, which I had to look this up when the commentators brought this up. And this is the first time that happened. The Miz joins Santino Marella as the only wrestlers to be eliminated first twice.
And
Brock,
another,
got it.
I was gonna say another kind of side note. This is kind of something I wanted to bring up. It's just I'm surprised Cross was in it like as short as he was, because I thought he was at least maybe gonna be in it maybe a little longer. I mean, not to say I thought he was gonna win, because I like Cross, but I thought he was gonna maybe have more of an impact and be in there a little longer. But he was in there for maybe like, I don't know, 4 minutes.
Let me see here. He was in there for about 4 minutes. I think they did that because Ray wasn't going to be in the match.
I guess. I don't know. That's
Speaking
just
of Ray, this is the fourth time in a Rumble history that the entrant did not leave the curtain. As this happened in 1991, 2004, and 1998 previously.
apparently Ray's hurt. That's what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I read too. Let's see here. Brock Lesnar brought his total all-time elimination record up to 32. And this is the first time since 2004 where a wrestler who was a part of the Rumble didn't compete and was replaced in some way as well. Added back to the Rey Mysterio stuff. And this is the first time since 2008 where Dolph Ziggler was not in the match.
That was interesting.
Very interesting. So after we got this good match and good opener, what do we go to? The year 1987, where everything was fucking neon, man. What was that shit?
You mean what was that Busta Rhymes music video that "Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See"?
Well, at least that was. Oh, wait, the last part of that video was neon. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was.
I was trying to find a gift for that, but yeah, just oh my God, the Mountain Dew rave match where all it was missing was foam. It's like Jesus Christ.
It makes me wonder why did they even advertise this as part of the Mountain Dew branding? I mean, let's hope I don't see more matches with branding attached to it in the next year or so, because that is the results of that just comes out bad. LA Knight, think I'm glad, and he's probably glad to be away from this fucking feud and move on. Bray Wyatt, I don't care to see this character at all. I'm sorry.
Same.
Even though he left WWE, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, whatnot, and the whole 10 years of doing practically almost the same or different kind of shit that results into nothing. No character progression at all with Bray Wyatt. It's the same hooky bullshit. Hooky spooky, as I'm trying to say. The match wasn't good at all. I don't have anything positive to say about this. Apparently, Daniel Garcia thought that this was the perfect time to say watch AEW on Wednesday nights. Like they haven't done any gimmicky bullshit in the last few months too. The fuck out of here.
Fuck you, Daniel Garcia. Fuck you.
Then we have Uncle Howdy out there doing a freaking high spot. All to do that just to miss.
I missed that.
Now if this was a 1999, bro. Do you ever watch that ridiculous special Exposed Pro Wrestling Secrets Reveal?
I might have. It was a long time ago, but
Yeah, the stupid narrative would be like, you would think that's real, but here are the secrets. Oh my God.
Oh God, that whole match, the whole, I think you asked me on the group
Yeah,
forum where
I really wanted to know what was the live crowd like during this match.
it was quiet. You can hear people having conversations. That's how quiet it was. And like I think my sister-in-law was saying that there was a dude like either behind us or like close to us that was saying, "Hey, are we gonna go to IHOP after the show?" Like nobody cared about this match. This was bad. And like I said on my show when we were doing predictions, it's just like I have zero interest in this match because again, I'm not trying to sound like Jim Cornette where I'm like, God damn, it's ruining professional wrestling, God damn it, where I'm not trying to be like that because like supernatural, spooky, gimmicky shit has a place in wrestling, but this is just bad. And like I think you made a Facebook post where you said something about Bray Wyatt, and I'm forgetting the words, but I'm just gonna paraphrase here. We're like Bray Wyatt is like that actor that did really bad 80s VHS shitty horror movies, and when he tried to do more serious stuff, he exposed himself for just being a one act pony. He's basically Bruce Campbell. Like Bruce
Oh my
Campbell is
God.
known for doing like, the campy kind of goofy horror movies, but it's just like that's why Bruce Campbell doesn't do stuff like working with Martin Scorsese because
Holy
he's
shit.
not that
Sorry,
kind of actor.
got some breaking news. Speaking of actors, Eddie Wershering passed away. Have you been watching The Last of Us?
Yes.
That plays as Tess.
Oh, fuck. You mean Anna Torv?
Yes.
She fucking passed away? How?
It's breaking news. It just popped up in my feed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And she was really. Oh my God, that sucks. That
Yeah,
sucks.
she was also on Star Trek Pritchard. I never watched Star Trek, but I know it was a huge show.
She was on a show called, was it The Fringe?
Yes, she was on there too.
She was on Mindhunter. That's where I first saw her. She was really good. Oh my God,
My
that sucks.
God. And also in my feeds, apparently Zachary Levi is a damn anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. I
God.
I
Here we
don't wanna.
fucking go. One month before your movie comes out, this is revealed. You are an anti-vaxxer and everything else that's far right-wing bullshit.
I mean, I don't like getting into politics, so I'm just gonna sit this one out.
But back to the Rumble. This was a freaking 5-minute ad spot for Mountain Dew. That's what this was. In fact, another brand I saw is Applebee's. Not only that, it was all over the show, but during the countdown intervals, the Applebee's logo was under it. Just makes me think, how much money are they spending on to be on the Royal Rumble?
Clearly not enough.
Not that it bothered me, but it's just in your face.
mean,
Too
what's
in your
next?
face.
I mean, what's next? The women's TLC match sponsored by McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Dude, I have not had McDonald's in about 12 years, and I will probably never go back there.
I mean, the only time I go back there is for like breakfast and nuggets. That's about it.
Anywho, Bianca Belair defeated Alexa Bliss. And a not so good match either. They went 7 minutes. Clearly, these two do not have any chemistry, and I felt that they weren't going to have good chemistry the second they had their first segment on Raw of about early in January. Then after the match, we get some more spooky Uncle Howdy bullshit with Alexa Bliss.
I was just waiting for the shit to be over. I mean, WWE was at least smart to say, let's put the bad stuff in the middle and then have the good. Let's start off hot and end hot. And yeah, this match I didn't care for. Like, Alexa Bliss, she already knows who she is. She already knows what her role is. She's supposed to be the entertainer and not the wrestler. And I'm just glad this is over because I like Bianca. I need to see Bianca like have better matches with like better talent. I don't need to see Bianca get dragged into the Uncle Howdy, straight to VHS spooky horror movie shit. I don't need to
Yeah.
see that.
I don't need to see that either, and it needs to be more for her to do. In fact, I'm kind of concerned of what Bianca's going to do from now up until before the feud with Rhea Ripley starts, if Rhea Ripley chooses Bianca Belair.
I mean, they have like kind of a tease on Raw, so I mean, I wouldn't see why not, but I don't want to see her in Charlotte because I think that's kind of done. I'd rather see Rhea and Bianca. That's we haven't seen them really have a match yet.
Not since I believe NXT, they haven't had a match.
I mean, that seems more like a better money match with two of your future stars.
Exactly. Speaking of the Women's Rumble, let's get right to it. The Women's Royal Rumble match. So we find out one we find out as soon as this shit starts, it started to get better as the time went on. It was a lot of boring spots in the match. The ending I did love. One of the best endings I've seen for a Royal Rumble match. Well, more like the finish, because all three of them was out the apron, and that was quite cool because we don't usually see that in a Royal Rumble match. Rhea Ripley lasted the longest, and she's also the fourth person to win it from the number one spot. I saw also earlier. Well, not earlier, but yesterday, that Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan lasted the longest at the same time. Apparently, that's not correct because Rhea's 101 and 8 seconds, and Liv Morgan is 101 and 7 seconds. So, beat her by a second.
By a second. I was like with you, like when the match went on and started to improve a little bit. I mean we'll get to the elephant, quote unquote, in the room.
Which is
dun dun dun. Yeah, the ending I liked because like we were going, I pretty much almost fucking messed up my voice because I was yelling because like that spot where it was Asuka and Rhea and Liv on the apron, and I'm just like, oh shit, this is gonna be nuts. And Asuka blows the mist in Liv's face, and then Rhea knocks Asuka off, and I'm just getting kind of, I'm just like, Rhea, look to your left, look to your left. And then Liv almost pushes her down, but she's like holding on for dear life to the rope, and we're just all yelling like, Rhea, Rhea, don't fall, don't fall. And then Liv has the mist in her face, so she has to like sell like, where the hell are you, Rhea? So Rhea like throws her out. I'm like, oh God, like I had a heart attack almost, just like getting all crazy. But yeah, I'm obviously glad Rhea won because she was my pick. My again, I'm not saying it's a complaint, just as a fan and as far as like her character. Is that she's supposed to be this dastardly, manipulative, bitch of a heel, and she comes in at one. Like, why not have her come in at 30 and just be like, huh, I'm refreshed, I win, fuck all you bitches. I took all your hard work and I came in and I just snatched it from you. Like, I mean, I think for her character it would have made sense, but nonetheless, I'm still happy for you.
Let's see here. Chelsea Green also returned to WWE. She pretty much got a 5 second welcome.
Yeah, I was surprised
That
by that because like
right there was a message. You know how you first break it into the NFL and they give you the welcome to the NFL moment? Here, when she returned, it was the welcome to WWE moment. You get in, you get dumped out.
I was surprised by that because like they were, I don't want to say they as in like WWE, but it was kind of being hyped up like Chelsea Green is returning and they're kind of making a big deal about it, but then they bring her in and it's just like, oh, you're gone. It's like, all right, I guess that's kind of how it is with her. The rest of the Rumble, I again, it was kind of like the men's where it's just like lack of surprises. Like you had some NXT call-ups, you had Roxanne come in, which she actually got a big pop. I don't want to say like a massive like Cody or Edge pop, but she got a nice pop. She's kind of a local girl here. She came through, RCW, River City Wrestling, if you guys don't know. And I was happy to see her, and she had some good offense in. And of
Stomach
course, you had
cool. She
Bayley.
got a. She had a pop, and I even had my volume on low, and that was a huge pop.
I mean, granted, when you're trying to push somebody like they're Jesus Christ, they're gonna get a pop eventually. And I like Michelle McCool. I never hated on her. It's just one of those things of like she was in an era of divas, along with her and Beth
Yeah.
Phoenix, where they were kind of like the only two good things in like a pile of crap. And then the women's division, like the actual women's division starts, you get the Beckys and Charlottes, the Baileys, and they're kind of remembered as being bigger than they actually were. And it's just, that's just being fair. And then she's also married to Taker, so nepotism.
Nia Jax returning. Remember the dude, do you remember when she got released? I think it was last year or in 2020 or 2021, whatever one of those years were, because we're still in the pandemic. Remember when she got released? She said she's gonna spill the tea. Okay, what tea? This is 2 years later. We've heard nothing.
I mean, obviously,
You've been out of the spotlight for 2 years and now you're back.
I mean, in her case, it was probably sweet tea. She probably drank all of it because she fucking looked terrible. She gained a lot of weight, and
Jesus.
I don't care if that's mean, so fuck her. But they botched her fucking reveal
I know they did. We was like, wait, what?
because I just see her music playing, her graphics on the screen, and you just see the clock 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Oh my God. But
Everyone booed her.
it's an interesting trivia note. The record for the most people involved in one elimination has been broken. Nia, it took 11 people, or in this case, 11 women to eliminate Nia Jax. The previous record was Viscera slash Big Daddy V, where it took about 9 people to eliminate him.
I remember that.
But yeah,
But
she had no business being in this match. I'm sorry.
there's a part of me that was kind of worried as soon as she came in and started tossing women around. I'm like, oh God, they're not gonna have her win, are they? But no, like Rhea did whatever she could to try and lift her up. I'm like thinking to myself, this bitch needs to fucking get to the gym. And she's apparently back already because they're selling her merch. Which I'm just like,
Is a better wrestler than her.
which I was happy to see that they finally gave her name back, not that stupid fucking Doudrop shit.
Yeah, whatever else Vince shut out from his creative meetings.
And did you notice that she kind of, I guess, has a newer attitude? Like she actually looks like a better worker now that
Yes,
she's
I
back or
did.
nothing? Which I was happy. I like it.
Overall, the finish of this women's Royal Rumble match was more interesting than the entire match. Oh, also another product placement spot. Lena Vega coming out as Jerry from Street Fighter Four. Apparently, we found out that she's the commentator of Street Fighter Six.
All right, then.
Any thoughts
Good
of
for
that?
her. Good for her.
What was the last Street Fighter game you played?
Oh boy. I have the Street Fighter, I think, like 30th anniversary on Switch. As far as like actual game I played. This is like ages ago. Probably like I had to have been on like maybe like an arcade.
Oh,
It's
okay.
been so long. I've always been more of a Mortal Kombat guy than Street Fighter.
Me, other Street Fighter, I like Mortal Kombat and King of Fighters as far as like straight up fighting games goes outside of Smash Brothers.
Right.
But yeah, I have that for the Switch also, but my favorite is Alpha 3.
I have a Switch, and it's just like it's one of those things where because I have three consoles. I might, well, actually, I have. I'll just make the short story short because we have more of the show to talk about. But I in the pandemic I started buying older consoles.
Yeah.
I have a PS1, a PS2 Slim, and a PS3, and I bought a GameCube for Betty for our anniversary because she wanted it. She randomly wanted this game. I'm forgetting what the name of it was called, but she wanted a GameCube for that, and then I ended up playing it more because I started buying more games. So I have a lot of consoles here, but as far as like I guess the main current ones, Xbox One, which I don't play on it anymore. We just use it for like apps and YouTube TV and movies and shit.
Yeah.
And then the PS4 is what I use now. Is what I use now because I bought it on OfferUp for 150, and I just started buying more games on, PS4, and I use that a lot more. My Switch, I kind of use sparingly, because there's still games on there that I play, like, Breath of the Wild and shit like that.
Yeah, you got a long backlog.
What do you mean?
A backlog of games.
Yeah, it's just like, I wouldn't say I'm this massive gamer, because there's like, what do you call it? Like, there's games, like, I'm very, like, picky about games to what I play.
Yeah.
I mean, there's games now that I never would have played before. Like, Last of Us was a game that it was like, oh, this seems like more of a game I'd rather watch than actually play. And then I played it, and then I was just like, oh. And then same thing with, like, God of War and, like, story-based games, like, Ghost of Tsushima. Other games, like, Elden Ring, I can't picture myself playing.
Oh, brother. Well,
Right.
we get before we get to the shitty concert, let me run down some statistics. Let's see here. I already talked about Rhea Ripley lasted the longest, and her being number one. Rhea Ripley also scored the most eliminations with seven. Let's see here. B-Fab joins Mandy Rose, Liv Morgan, Lana, Shotzi Blackheart, and Melina as the first women eliminated in the women's Rumble matches. Let's see here. And this is the first Royal Rumble since 2021, where both the number one and number two were also the last two in a match. And this is also the first time that happened in the women's Royal Rumble match.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Again, the finish was much better than the entire match. Not that the match was bad, it was just more could have been done. And then we get to the main event, Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Which more people are going to be talking about the post-match beatdown than they are the actual match, because the actual match was a standard TV match, but the fucking beatdown as Sami Zayn turning on Roman, and which followed with the beating down Sami again, and then Jey Uso leaving. That's a masterclass of storytelling.
Well, let me get to the match first. So, another stat, Mr. Cannon. This is actually the third
Third.
time Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens have had a world championship match at Mania, not Mania, Royal Rumble. 2017, which was in San Antonio, that was I believe, a street fight, and that was when Owens was champion.
Yes.
And then 2021, when Roman started his head of the
They had
table
that
tribal
last
chiefs.
man standing match.
Yeah, where Paul Heyman couldn't uncuff Roman's cuffs in time.
Yeah.
And then this one was, I think, was like the first time they actually had a straight up wrestling match. So I like the match, because Owens and Reigns, they really have good chemistry with each other. Owens is the guy who, he's like an upper middle class babyface. Like, he's the guy that you put in a spot against your top main eventer to see what they can do against him.
Exactly.
And they obviously like him for a reason, because he can work and he's a health promo. So he's kind of like their, I guess, their new Cactus Jack. Is that fair to say?
In that way, I could say so. Yeah, I agree.
Right. So this is a good match. I liked it. I mean, there was a part of me that kind of thought, is Kevin Owens maybe going to take the Universal title from him? Just a small smidget, because there's already been talks about them splitting up both titles, not just for the world, but also for the tag titles. And Owens was telling Reigns, you've been holding on to that Universal title for far too long. Not the Undisputed, but just the Universal. So I was like, is Sammy gonna fuck it up and, like, Kevin's gonna win? But no, like, Reigns won. And oh my God, that spot on the fucking, like, what is it, the ring shit, what the fuck do you call it, ring stairs, there,
Yeah, still steps.
when Roman's bouncing Kevin's fucking head off of them, like, ooh, oof. It's like Chris Benoit, anybody? What the fuck?
Oh boy.
Like, Chris Nowinski was watching that going, what the fuck? Like, he's basically watching and going, emotional damage. No. This is a good match. I enjoyed it. And then the after kind of, I guess, the afterbirth is what, Cornette calls it. It kind of preceded the match. And in some ways, it kind of preceded Cody a little bit.
Yes.
The whole crowd was very pro Sammy, because they were cheering for Sammy, and, like, they were booing the shit out of Roman, especially, in the spot where, Sammy stops Roman, and, like, the whole crowd just went, what's he doing? And then, because I thought it was going to be a thing of like Roman is holding the chair and he's going to give it to Sammy. But then eventually he gives it to Sammy after Sammy kind of talks him down and going, "You're better than this. Don't do this." And when Sammy, smacked Roman in the back of, in the back, the whole place went nuts. They were cheering for Sammy. And what I thought was going to happen was like Sammy was going to be like, "You see what I had to do?" And then just like walk out of the ring. And then that's how you end the show, and then you can deal with it on SmackDown. Jay's the first guy to kind of, well, not Jay, Jimmy is the first guy to, kickstart and just beat the shit out of Sammy. And then, Solo joins in, and, Roman joins in. And then Jay just kind of goes, "I can't." Like he walks away. The whole crowd started chanting, "Fuck you, Roman."
That was masterful.
It was loud. It was fucking loud as shit. There was actually a spot that I saw on TikTok where like there was a fan who was sitting front row and he's filming Pat McAfee's reaction to the whole thing. And Pat McAfee, as soon as he hears "Fuck you, Roman," he's like, "Oi!" Like he makes a face like, "Oi, this is bad. Like this is nuclear heat." I have a question for you actually.
Yeah, what you got?
Do you think that was made? That would have been a perfect time for Cody to come out?
No.
Here's why I asked that. It's because, all roads, pun intended, are leading to Mania being Cody and Roman. So don't you think this would have been like a way of Cody coming out and trying to make the save to set up a Mania match with Roman?
It should have happened on the same pay-per-view. I mean, they got this whole thing with the Bloodline and Sammy. It kind of would have probably took the heat off of Roman for a bit, because when they put this match last, they know they needed to close out on a very strong
Right.
positioning. So even though the fan side of me would have said, "Let's bring Cody out there," my brain would have just lit up and I would have been like, "For what?"
Well, I mean, it would have been a nice way to kind of kickstart that feud. And also, Roman's, whole thing was being like, "First, I got to deal with, I'm already done with Kevin Owens. I got to deal with Sammy. Now I got to deal with your ass." Like
Yeah,
that could
that's gonna be good for after the Elimination
have.
Chamber, which I believe it's gonna be Roman versus Sammy. And I've seen everyone since that angle happened, I've seen everyone saying, "Oh, Sammy should take the belt of Roman." Why?
I
Why?
mean,
Hold on,
well,
before you continue,
right.
why? Cody's been a choice since he returned last year, and as far as being a company representative, that's exactly what WWE wants. Not to say that Sammy can't do the same, but it's Cody's time for now. Sammy's been positioned as this joke character for so long. How people are going to take him seriously after he wins the belt, not when he wins it. It's going to be the Adam Page situation all over again if Sammy wins the belt at this time. Maybe 6 or 8 months later, after you've rebuilt Sammy, then he takes the belt.
Right, it's just Sammy is over. There's no denying Sammy's over, but Sammy can't beat Roman. I'm sorry. Like Cody needs to be that guy. This is Cody's time. Cody is the guy that you send on Good Morning America because he's gonna look right with that belt because he looks like a world champion. He looks like a superhero almost.
Yes,
And Sammy,
Homelander.
Coeslander. Oh God. Sammy is your over guy, but there's a reason why there's mid Carters because they're mid Carters. Mid Carters can get over, but mid Carters are mid for a reason because they do not look like guys that you're gonna tune in to see if they're gonna beat, The Rock or John Cena or Roman Reigns. And I know I'm kind of maybe going a little overboard, but like,
No, it's true. It's true.
Roman versus Sammy at a pay-per-view is a possibility, especially since Elimination Chamber's at Montreal. But Sammy beating Roman, no, that's not
No, it's
gonna
not going to happen. And as I said before, rebuild Sammy after this feud with Roman and then have a challenge for the belt, whether Cody has it or not, about 5 or 6 months from now.
happen. Right.
Don't just hot shot things just because fans are re reacting very good on this, because long term of what you do after the belt is what really is going to be the question.
So, and then just, kind of go into, Cody and Roman for a bit. Like, this how you push that narrative is just, Roman isn't taking Cody seriously because Roman's whole thing is like, I've beaten everybody. What are you going to do to me? Because the last time you were here, the last time we were both here in the same company, you were Stardust and I was on top. Just because you went over to the other company with the other guys and became a star, quote unquote, are you really a star or are you just a big fish in a small pond? I'm a whale in a teardrop, which actually The Rock did say in a promo. But
Dude, I can't wait for these two to cut promos during this feud.
you talking about The Rock?
Roman and Cody.
That I mean that's going to be a good feud because I mean Cody's I mean they're both legacy or what do you call them? Generational talent because Roman's dad, Afa, Sika, and also he's in that big ass Samoan family and then yeah, the
Cody's
Rhodes family.
second generation.
Roman can be like, your dad was a big name, but he's never been bigger than me, the Tribal Chief. So I'm very much looking forward to that match.
I'm also looking forward to see how many of the lower card tier AEW wrestlers get pissed off if Roman even brings up those three letters.
I'm
I
pretty
can't
sure
fucking wait.
he'll be cute with it, especially I can see Paul like saying something like, you may be all elite, Cody, wink wink. he'll probably say shit like that. But oh man, that'd be funny. And then Roman can just like make, Young Bucks references like, we got the best Bucks in this company.
That would be quite clever, man. Just to rile up these lower tier AEW roster members, like a fucking Wheeler Yuta who couldn't even cut a promo last week when he was face to face with what's his name? God, that looks so fucking cringe. I'm sorry if I bring that up, but
No,
overall,
I saw
sorry.
that because like usually we record live during well pretty much every Wednesday we record during Dynamite at 8, and I just had Dynamite on to see what was going on, and like Adam Page cuts that promo, and all of a sudden as soon as Wheeler Yuta just came into the promo, I just went ah, and I muted it. It's like I can't with this guy.
Me neither, but that's a story for another day. Overall, this Rumble was better than last year's shit show, and even 2021, even though they was in the damn Thunderdome, I could say this is the best one since 2020.
Yeah, I like the 2020. I would probably give this like I give it a B, a solid B.
I'll give it a B minus. The Rumble matches and the closing show angle really shined the show. That dumb product placement shit with Bray Wyatt and Wowie Dowie, Uncle Murder or whatever his fucking name is.
Howdy doody.
Whatever his name is. That shit was dumb. Alexa Bliss and Bianca, they have no chemistry at all. So yeah, those are the low points besides some of the booking choices of the Rumbles, but overall, I did enjoy the show. I'll give it a B minus.
Yeah, we all had fun. I kind of wish it started at 6 instead of 7.
Oh,
So
do
that way
you?
we were able to get out. Yeah, just so that way we were able to get out maybe like an hour early and also just get rid of
No,
that.
you couldn't leave an hour early because a fucking concert happened.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. Get rid of that concert. Like, just scrap that shit and like, because I didn't even know that that was going to happen until like the day of. And I'm like, why? I was at Ryan Reynolds' GIF, but why though? Like that was me.
Oh man, let's get the fuck out of here. Thank you so much, Drew, for coming on. Go ahead and plug your stuff.
Right, so we record every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, during Dynamite. We are live on the Discord Wrestling Soup channel. Thank you, Mish. And also on Spreaker. So check us out live. It's me and my co-host Justin from Spinebuster Tees. He runs his own wrestling shop. So if you're interested in wrestling paraphernalia, shirts, hit him up. It's Spinebuster Tees. And yeah, I'm everywhere that podcasts are put out, like Google, iTunes, and Spreaker is my home base. I'm also on YouTube if you're into that sort of thing. I also have a Patreon. I have a Patreon, just $5 a month. It gets you all kinds of good shit. I also have another show I do, which I just recorded with my friends Monty and Little RJ, the Brooklyn Savage. Called the Trifecta Threat, and we just recorded a show about 2 or 3 hours ago. So I believe that just dropped. So listen to that. And social media handles, I'm easy to find. Just type in Drew Yard.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, Drew. The next episode I'm gonna do, me, you, and Rob has to do the live watch of Exposed, Pro Wrestling Secrets Greatest Revealed. Because on the previous two episodes, I told Rob that we should do a live watch of that. I haven't watched it since the mid 2000s. Rob hasn't watched it since 99, and this will be your first time watching
Oh, can't wait.
it.
Thank you for
Goodbye,
inviting me on.
Drew. You're welcome. Peace.